You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, midweek edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Missy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here at William Hill, looking ahead to the midweek action in the Carabao Cup. This is where it starts to get really interesting as well as we move on to round number three. This is where the big guns all come into the competition as well. So you've got the big six, if you like, in the Premier League joining in from this point as well. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the office today. We're having a little bit of a jaunt out into the office by Lee Phelps. How are you, Lee?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having a chat. I haven't done the midweek punt for ages. No longer can I be called anything like the ambassador of winners or anything like that. But we're going to try and pick out a couple of bets.
Yeah, got two big games to look forward to, which we'll move on to in a little bit of time. But before we do, let's just take a little glance back to the weekend. The Premier League is still in its early days of this season, of course. Six games played. But we are starting to see familiar patterns. Although a new pattern emerging, I suppose, in the fact that Liverpool are setting the pace and looking very, very goodly. Six games, six victories, and they're flying at the moment.
Yeah, conceded two goals and scored 14. Obviously, did well in Europe as well. We'll talk about the Chelsea game in midweek, but they've got Chelsea at the weekend as well. And then the game after that is against Napoli. Then they've got Man City at home in the league. So if you can fast forward past the 7th of October, if Liverpool have, you know, maybe even got two draws or, you know, the very least, you know, a win against one and maybe a draw against the other, and if they can dream about two wins. If Liverpool were to beat Chelsea and beat Man City, they would shorten significantly in the title market. And you can't fault much of what they're doing. I mean, City got back to winning ways after their European bump with a heavy win, with Mahrez scoring a couple of goals as well, which is obviously good for them. Man United and Chelsea both draw. I think Chelsea will be weird, isn't it? Because, you know, West Ham were doomed to relegation 2 weeks ago. Now suddenly they've started to pick up a bit of form. Chelsea probably disappointed about dropping a point there, but it's just like you say: Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Watford still in fourth, then Tottenham, then Arsenal, then Man United. I mean, Watford are kind of just in the middle of that top six, as you called them. But interesting. More interesting than this though was the boxing.
Yes,
we're big AJ fans, aren't we? Here,
huge.
William Hill's global ambassador, Anthony Joshua. What do you reckon to the fight?
I thought it was brilliant.
Where'd you watch it?
I watched it in a pub in Garforth.
You do surprise me.
Well, my girlfriend doesn't have Sky at her house, so I had to go to the pub. It's the law. I thought it was superb. Povetkin really came to have a go at Joshua, didn't he, in the first few rounds. I think he broke Joshua. Well, he hurt him anyway in the first round. And it was a similar story to the Klitschko fight in that respect, that I was sat there in the pub and I was at Wembley for the Klitschko fight.
Oh, yeah.
And I was getting a bit worried, you know. Arm started to get round the chin, you know, bit behind, you know, aghast behind a hand, thinking, he's in a bit of trouble here. He's not quite warmed into it as quickly as I would have liked him to. And we saw against Parker, he never really got that spark going, did he? And I just wondered maybe whether the gloss had come off Joshua a little bit, but then he started to settle down, took control, and that knockout. He's a show reel of knockouts, isn't he, AJ? And the pub erupted, I erupted. It was superb. Great stuff.
Yeah, it's just he's a beast. When he gets you hurt, so good.
Power of that man.
You almost feel like he does need that, though, don't you? Like, he almost needs the fire to be lit beneath him to get him going. And then they came out, obviously, Eddie Hearn said since that they've had a really poor camp. He's had quite a lot of injuries. He had a bit of man flu this week. Eddie Hearn on the BBC boxing podcast did a great interview right after the fight. And some of the stuff he said on there was really revealing. I mean, he said he didn't fancy it at all. He said even when they got into the dressing room to get the bandage on, he said Joshua's glove wasn't right, the thumb was wrong, so they went and got some more gloves. He had to put them on, didn't feel right. He said every step of the way, he just felt like it wasn't meant to be. Pouring with rain, and he said he had a bad feeling about it, but, you know, Joshua just went, just gets it done, doesn't he? And now he's got, and they also said, now the pressure's off us, The pressure is on Wilder and Fury now. They can sit back. Job done. We've done it. We've had our fight. We've taken a hard fight against a really good professional. 39 fights and never been stopped. Joshua made it look easy in the end, I think.
And the future of what he could potentially fight looks superb as well. You know, winner of Fury against Wilder would have a chance to fight Joshua to unify the division. Dillian White's still in the mix as well. Mm. Any of those three fights would be box office. They'd be superb.
I don't fancy that Dillian White fight. Everyone's saying it'd be a good fight, but I've seen that one. I think it has to be. I mean, Wilder next would be amazing. I think Wilder might beat Fury only because Fury will still be a bit undercooked. I think a top form Fury would probably beat Wilder and might even beat Joshua. Might just awkward him.
The Ovan Wright that caused Joshua a lot of problems is a bit of a Wilder signature, isn't it? So he's got to learn to deal with that. I think it'd be great. It could be one of those where you could see both fighters getting knocked down and then somebody going to win, that kind of drama.
Should we talk more football now?
I think we probably should.
Anyone who's tuned in for football, they're probably thinking, I don't even like boxing.
we'll chat more about that on the boxing podcast in the coming weeks, I'm sure. Big week of boxing as well.
Groves against Smith in Saudi Arabia. Tune in later in the week. Yeah. Once you'll talk about that.
Let's talk football, though. We've got plenty of football to look forward to this week. Carabao Cup action, as we mentioned. Big weekend of Premier League football to come as well. But sticking with the midweek theme, we're going to start with Manchester United against Derby County. 1-5, Man United. The draw 11-2, and Derby are 12-1. Man United drew with Wolves at the weekend, Lee. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, maybe lucky to get away with a point in the end. Whereas Derby got back to winning ways. They beat Brentford and looked pretty good in that game as well. Frank Lampard's had a new child, or his missus has, he hasn't, suddenly get Derby played well. You know, things are starting to come right for him, and I wouldn't be confident in backing Man United at 1-5 against anybody at the moment, let alone a team that's suddenly buoyed with confidence. And Frank Lampard going to Old Trafford, he's got history there, hasn't he,
are you saying the birth of his child has got something to do with this? Is it like that? Yeah. In golf they call it, got a name, hasn't it?
Yeah, what is it in golf?
I can't remember what it's called.
The baby boom. It's not that, is it?
Baby factor, something like that.
The nappy factor.
Nappy factor.
That might be it. Anyway, because suddenly everything's going great, isn't it?
What, night feeds, tiredness, lots of crying all around you.
I'm not a dad, so I can't comment, but I presume from that point my life will pick up.
When you have a kid, I'm going to come back to you and go, so how do you feel about it? Do you feel buoyed?
I would feel that I can still take on Man United at 1-5.
There speaks a true Leeds fan. On this game, yeah, I mean, all things being equal, I think, yeah, obviously Man United should win this game. I think, yeah, if they put out a full team, etc. Mourinho has got history in the competition. I don't think he'll take it too lightly. A previous winner, of course, of the comp. Like you say, Derby, they're doing all right. Sixth place, win at the weekend, 3-1 against Brentford. I just think maybe Man United are more... Let's say both teams weaken. You'd have to be with Man United. They'll have the pressure of playing at home. The fans will expect. Derby have got decent away form. They played Hull in the League Cup away, and then they played them again in the Championship since then and beat them 4-0 and 2-1. I've got nothing against Derby County at all, but I just think Man United might squeak past them. What I'm not sure about is, though, there's no way Derby are going to go there and collapse. We've got some enhanced odds. Man United to win by 4 or more goals. 18-5. Nope. 4-1. I think that's a bit disrespectful, if I'm being honest. I'd be looking at Derby maybe on the plus handicap, looking at something like that where they actually do keep it tight. Because Man United haven't been rolling anyone over, have they? So I think I really think Derby plus a goal 16-5. You're getting the draw on your side there as well. I think there's a chance there. Derby plus 2, 23-20.
Odds against, yeah, don't mind
it's that. Decent, that, isn't it? So you've even got you've got three results there on your side. You've got a Derby win, which is unlikely. You've got the draw, and you've got a Man United win by a single goal. I think that's where I'd be looking. I just think Man United will get the job done, but I don't think it'll be easy. I think he will give a few people a chance here, Man United. But, there's no way. They should get the job done here against Derby, and I really think they will. But Derby won't come away from there like with the heads and hands. I think if we're going for a correct score, I'd be looking at something like 2-1.
Yeah, so you could look at Manchester United and both teams to score in that instance. That is 9-5 again.
I like that as well.
All right, so starting with Manchester United then to go on and win, and probably both teams on the score sheet, but not to run away with it. Let's turn our attention to Wednesday night. Wow, what a game we've got in prospect here. Liverpool against Chelsea. Liverpool 5-6. The draw 29-10. Chelsea are 29-10 as well. Liverpool, as we've mentioned already on this podcast, flying start to the season. Chelsea not doing bad either. They haven't lost this term. And you look back through the history of these two clubs when they meet in competitions, particularly when you look back to the Champions League with a goal that was never a goal and was a goal and all that kind of stuff. These two teams in cup competition seem to bring out the best in each other. So I'm expecting entertainment, if nothing else, on Wednesday night.
Yeah, really interesting, because they've got this game, then they've got the game in the Premier League as well. So always an odd situation when you've got two games so close together with the same teams. I think we all know which one would be more important. I think, you know, both Chelsea and Liverpool fans would happily give up this game for 3 points in the league. It's been a quite a low scoring match in recent years. Chelsea won 1-0 at the Bridge back in May. Liverpool 1-1 in November 2017, 1-1 before that at Anfield. So, you know, it's been a pretty tight game when we think back to some of the games that you're talking about, you know, back a few years ago. Then there used to be quite a lot of goals in this in these matches. I can see it probably being quite cagey in the first game here as well, this little double. It's all about team news. I mean, I know we always sound like a broken record when we come to the League Cup, but it is about team news. It has to be, because you've got to kind of think about what do they want out of this. Liverpool are fighting on all fronts. Chelsea are as well, but in the Europa League. Liverpool have obviously got, you know, great start in the Champions League. They've got this game, they've got Chelsea again, they've got Napoli midweek away, and they've got Man City. It's crucial that they get through this next bit. So I think maybe Liverpool might be the team who weaken most, but I don't think they'll go mad, because they've still got the home fans. They've still got, now they've got this run going. You wouldn't want to lose that run against anyone. They've not had, you know, you look at kind of the recent form in the League Cup, it's not been brilliant, has it? You know, it's not like they've been tearing up trees, and they do tend to kind of, you know, rest and put out weaker teams. Look back to when they played Burton Albion. Now that, like, they beat Burton Albion well, obviously slightly worse team than Chelsea, and you know, didn't weaken down massively, but just made enough changes. You know, but you look at the players who scored. You know, Sturridge, he wasn't a regular. So that, you know, they did well, won well, but they did make changes. I expect them to make changes here again. It's just, I think it's a tricky one to pick a winner on. The price is 5-6 Liverpool. I mean, I think on the outright, you'd probably have to go for Chelsea, if anything. Maybe the draw in 90 minutes. But I think both teams to score, 8-13. You can maybe take that. The draw in both teams to score is 17-5. Can't see it being a 0-0. Yeah. Some quality players on the pitch, even if they do rest. It sounds a bit like I'm sitting on the fence, but until you actually see the team news, I mean, look, Salah, you know, hasn't hit the straps yet, has he? He probably needs game time. But will, you know, the likes of Divock Origi get a game? Will he rest Firmino? There's a lot of questions around this. You'd expect maybe Shaqiri to play a full match, 13-8 to score. I'd be surprised to see Eden Hazard line up. Giroud is another one, though. You know, there are players around the fringes. You think, well, some of these players do deserve game time. You know, which ones will get them? It's a case of checking the team news and knowing which ones are in there, and then making your picks on the goal scorers. But for me, fairly low scoring. You're pointing at Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity to give him some time. He said he wants to stay at Chelsea, and try and work his way into the team. We saw with England, he's a very talented young boy. We saw at Crystal Palace last season as well. I think he could take this game by the scruff of the neck and try and get in Sarri's ear a little bit and say, hey, I deserve to be playing here. I'm staying to fight for my place. And you know, what was he, 5-1 to score any time in that particular market there? I think if that's the case, 5-1 any time, I don't mind that. I think that's quite a nice way in. And I think you've made the point already, but I'm going to re-emphasise the point. If you look at the list of fixtures coming up for Liverpool, the Premier League win against Chelsea matters. The Champions League win against Napoli matters, because they beat PSG. So if they don't win that, they're kind of, it's a wasted effort almost. Yeah. They won't care as much if they go out of the League Cup. If they had to sacrifice one result throughout this next few weeks, it will be this one.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I think Chelsea are probably the bet.
Yeah, at a reasonable price, yeah. Can't disagree. I can't disagree with your reasoning. I'm just going to go for the draw. I think it'll be fairly cagey. And maybe, you know, maybe one of the teams will have to bring on a big gun just to get them over the line. But for me, I'm just very quickly looking back at Chelsea's lineup against PAOK, PAOK, in the Europa League. And maybe we're talking about a similar kind of lineup in this one, you know, sprinkling of, you know, of the quality first teamers, but a couple of different faces in there as well. Yeah, I'll go for the draw. You go for Chelsea.
All right, good stuff. That's the two live games this week. Then we're not just going to leave it there though, because there are a whole host of matches in the Carabao Cup. So what you're talking to me about before this, Lee, is you always see goals, or you see a lot of goals in the third round when we get to this stage of the Carabao Cup. So what's your angle? What are you going with?
Well, not last year, it bucked the trend, but in previous years there was always a whole load of goals. Now I've never won this bet, so it's not. I missed it by one match on two occasions, and that's an over 1.5 acca through the whole week.
Wow.
The Tuesday night, there's a lot of teams in there where you could argue it's a bit of a much for muchness in terms of results. You have got some Premier League, you've got Man City away at Oxford, you've got Man United, of course, at home to Derby, and a few other Premier League teams. But there's some tricky old games. The Wednesday night is much more clear-cut if you're just looking for an acca. You've got the likes of Arsenal against Brentford, you've got Tottenham v Watford, you expect them to win there. This over 1.5 treble. So in all of the games, 15 selections comes to just over 20-1. So you just need two goals in every single game. If you hit your bet boost button, you're logged into your account, the black and yellow button there, hit that, it goes up to 24-1. I'm willing to have a fiver on that. Over 1.5. Look, you've got to get through Tuesday, admittedly. Yeah. But if you get through Tuesday, I think you're laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, if you get through Tuesday, imagine the excitement going into Wednesday.
It'll be fever pitch.
It would. I'm sure it would.
15 selections. It's going a bit. But if nothing else, I've got to tell our beautiful listeners about BetBoost.
Yeah, no, I like it. Why wouldn't you want a bigger price than your accumulator? Yeah. There's also Scratch of the Day promotions, isn't there? We should mention those.
So much. Enhanced odds.
Yeah. Your odds as well, if you want to get in touch, at William Hill on Twitter. Hashtag your odds. Include that on your tweet, and we can try and price it up for you as well.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but I know for a fact that there are going to be a couple of flash odds in the midweek football. Which are the ones where they only last like an hour, big price, limited stakes. So look out on the app or on williamhill.com. We've done all the things that our bosses have told us to do.
Yeah.
Tick that one off.
Well, you've gone too far. You've given a psst that we weren't supposed to give it.
Yeah. But, there you go. Now.
Inside scoop there from Lee. Thank you very much. Enjoy the League Cup action this week. Good luck with those bets. And very best of luck to you as well. Out there in, I'm going to say listener land then. I was going to go full cliche then, wasn't I? Very best of luck to you if you've listened. And do tune into InPlay Radio, of course. We'll be able to hear all of the action with live betting commentaries as well. We'll be back at the weekend, so do check back for that. And very best of luck this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.